Chapter 29. Pervil Kennedy Near was an established firm in a solid old building, so their offices lacked flash and glitz. That worked for Jesse. He didn't have much use for flash and glitz. He'd had his fill of both in L.A., and there was little chance of encountering either in Paradise. Paradise was definitely more seersucker than gold lame, more boats than feather boas. The reception and waiting area decor of brown leather, brass-tacked chairs, of dark wood and green glass, recalled an old-fashioned bank or a country club card room. Jesse imagined he could smell the lingering scents of cigars and cherry pipe tobacco. Given all that, it surprised him when the person who came to greet him was a rangy kid who looked like he'd started shaving last week. "Follow me, Chief Stone. The other party is waiting for you in our conference room." Jesse followed him down a hallway of closed office doors and walls lined with portraits. The portraits were of stern-looking white men, old white men with white hair. Some were portraits of yachts and golf holes. "Here we are, sir," said the kid, putting his hand on the oval-shaped doorknob to the conference room. "Would you care for coffee, tea, or bottled water, a Coke or Diet Coke?" Jesse shook his head, then asked, "Summer associate?" He smiled at Jesse as he opened the door. "Something like that. Go on in." The conference room was a large, windowless space that only enhanced the country club feel of the office. The walls were paneled in walnut, and the forest green carpeting was springy under Jesse's shoes. The huge rectangular table that dominated the room had 12 black leather swivel chairs around it, but could have easily accommodated a further 6. Spaced evenly along the center line of the table were 6 banker's lamps, their dark green shades aglow.
"Well, how do, Jesse Stone?" Hale Hunsicker said, all 6'5" of him rising up out of the big leather chair at the head of the table. Hunsicker offered Jesse his right hand. It was nearly the size of Jesse's old baseball mitt. "I've been waiting to meet you for a long time. Yes, sir, a long time."
Jesse let the Texan's hand swallow his and waited for Hunsicker's to spit it back out. He'd Googled Hunsicker the day he got the invitation to the wedding, but he was still taken aback by the man's physical presence. Hunsicker had played defensive tackle in the burnt-orange uniform of the Texas Longhorns back in the day. But after making second-team All-American, he'd chosen Wharton and the family business over the NFL. He was still a specimen. His body tapered from his broad shoulders to a waist that was probably an inch or two smaller than Jesse's, and his hand-tailored suit made sure to emphasize his build. But size and build weren't even the man's most impressive features. He was a handsome SOB with a square cleft chin, an angular jawline, and a loose mane of prematurely silver hair. He looked like a cross between the damned Marlboro man and a Greek sculpture.
"So, Jesse, what's all the cloak and dagger for?" Hunsicker asked, some of the good old boy charm disappearing from his voice. "We could have just gone out for a friendly meal."
"Jen."
"I kind of figured it was about her. That's why I agreed to go along with all this secrecy hoo-ha. I may be just an old Texas shit-kicker, but..."
Jesse laughed, shaking his head. "Hale, we need to be straight with each other. How many old Texas shit-kickers are Wharton MBAs?" Now it was Hunsicker laughing.
"Probably more than you'd think." He stopped laughing, or smiling. "Listen, Jesse, you're not thinking of trying to put a stop to the wedding, are you? Because if you are, don't waste your breath, son. I know who Jen is. I know about her vanity and neediness. I knew about them in the first 5 minutes I spent talking to her. And unlike you, I'm the man for that. I'm the man to feed her vanity and take care of her needs. I also know about how you two are connected. There's nothing I can do about that. Don't want to, but don't tell me you're here to proclaim your everlasting love for her or anything like that. I got no room for that, son. Not an inch of room for that."
Jesse waited a few seconds to make sure Hunsicker had said his piece. He'd kept Hunsicker in the dark about the exact nature of their meeting,
So it was no surprise to Jesse that the man had prepared some comments, just in case.
Hale, it's not like that. I want Jen to be happy, and everything I see and hear from you says you are what you claim, the man for the job.
Then what's going on?
For Jen to be happy, we have to keep her alive.
All the charm and friendly veneer slid right off Hunsicker's handsome face, and in its place was the cold, angry stare opposing offensive linemen must have looked at across the line of scrimmage.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean? Hale's voice was an icy growl.
It means I think someone is going to try to kill or abduct Jen at your wedding.
Hale tilted his head. Someone?
Mr. Peepers, Jesse said, feeling ridiculous.
Hunsicker's stare grew icier and meaner. He took a step toward Jesse. Is this some kind of sick joke? 'Cause if it is, I'm severely unamused.
No joke, Hale.
Jesse reached into his sport jacket pocket and retrieved a photocopy of the picture Peepers had sent him. Here.
Hunsicker was confused. This thing about a praying mantis, what's it mean?
That's why we're here, so I can explain.
Hale held up his huge right palm. Wait a second.
The big man strolled to the door, stuck his head out, and said, Scott, come on in here a second.
The kid who'd greeted Jesse in the reception area stepped into the office, a sly smile on his face.
I don't think we need a lawyer in here, Jesse said.
Hunsicker nodded. Far as I'm concerned, I'd be happier without lawyers altogether, but Scott's no lawyer.
Jesse frowned. I thought you said you were a summer associate.
Sorry, sir, the kid said, but that was you.
Hunsicker broke up the stalemate. Jesse Stone, chief of the Paradise Police Department, meets Scott Cahan, my head of security.
Head of security? He looks about 15 years old.
Hale Hunsicker was laughing in spite of himself. Cahan stood ramrod straight, his hands clasped behind him. And in that instant, seeing the kid's pose, remembering the inflection in Cahan's voice when he called him sir, Jesse thought there was something vaguely military about Cahan. But only vaguely. There was something else about him Jesse hadn't seen before. Something like what you see when you look into the eyes of a shark.